ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्या नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता श्रीराधा कान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये श्रीकृष्णचैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानन्दा श्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्दा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 28
chapter entitled Krishna Rescues Nanda Maharaj, text number 4. Praptam Viksha Rishikesham Lokapalah Saparyaya Mahatya Pujaitvaha Tad Darshana Mahotsavah. Praptam Viksha Rishikesham Lokapala Saparyaya Mahatyaya Pujayitvaha Taddarshana Mahotsavah. Praptam Viksha Rishikesham Lokapala Saparyaya Mahatya Pujayitvaha Taddarshana Mahotsavah. Praptam Viksha Rishikesham Lokapala Saparyaya Mahatya Pujayitvaha Taddarshana Mahotsavah. Matajis. Praptam, arrived. Viksha, seen. Rishikesham, Lord Krishna, the controller of the senses. Loka, of that planet. The watery regions. Palaha, the presiding deity. Varuna, Saparyaya, with respectful offerings. Mahatya, elaborate. Pujaitva, worshipping. Aha, spoke. Tat, of Lord Krishna. Darshana, from the sight. Maha, great. Utsavaha, jubilant pleasure. Translation: seeing that the Lord Rishikesh had arrived, the demigod Varuna worshipped him with elaborate offerings. Varuna was in a state of great jubilation upon seeing the Lord, and he spoke as follows. So this verse doesn't have any purport, so we'll take the next verse also. Shri Varuna uvacha adyame nibhrato deho adyevartho adhigatah prabho tvatpad bhajo bhagavan avapu paramadhvanah. Shri Varuna said, "Now my body has fulfilled its function. Indeed, now the goal of my life is achieved, O Lord. Those who accept your lotus feet, O personality of Godhead, can transcend the path of material existence." Purport. Varuna ecstatically exclaims here that since he has now seen the infinitely gorgeous body of Lord Krishna, the trouble of assuming a material body has now been supremely justified. Indeed, the artha, goal of real value of Varuna's life, has now been achieved, because Lord Krishna's form is transcendental. Those who accept his lotus feet go beyond the boundary of material existence, and thus only the spiritually unaware would presume that the Lord's lotus feet are material. So, for those who are not keeping a regular touch with this series, this is the 10th canto, 28th chapter, where after Indra's prayers are offered, then on the Dwadashi, Nanda Maharaj enters into the Yamuna to take a bath, and at that time, one of Varuna's associates, he captures Nanda Maharaj. So this is that particular pastime. And the reason why he captures him is because he thinks that Nanda Maharaj has taken bath at an inappropriate time. Whereas it was a mistake on his part, because it was a very special kind of Dwadashi, and Nanda Maharaj was bona fide in taking bath at that particular time. Not only that, the Varuna's associate should have understood the greatness of Lord Krishna's father, the exaltedness of Lord Krishna's father, and he should not have infringed like this. So it was a great offense on his part. As a result of this, Bhrityaparadhe Swamino Danda. If the servant makes a mistake, then the master is held responsible. So at that point, Krishna, when he saw that Nanda Maharaj, he did not come up again. So immediately Krishna jumped inside and he went to the kingdom of Varuna. And there, Krishna sees that his father is there. So Krishna is jubilant to see Nanda Maharaj, but more jubilant is Varuna to see Krishna. So as far as Varuna is concerned, his servant's mistake led to an unexpected darshan of Krishna. And so in this particular verse, he is glorifying the beautiful darshan of Lord, and he is glorifying the power of Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, Bhagavatam in various places, it describes the power of the darshan of Krishna. Sarve vedascha yagyascha tapo danani chanagha jiva bhaya pradanascha na kurviram kalam api. So if you take the benefits accrued by study of different Vedic literatures, yagyas and other activities, tapasya, etc. But the simple act of giving darshan of Lord Krishna, which provides abhayadan, which provides fearlessness to the conditioned soul, it surpasses, supersedes all of these other benefits. Jiva bhaya pradanasya na kurviram kalam api. So Srila Prabhupada asked a question. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada the question, when you chant Hare Krishna, what do you experience? And Prabhupada said, fearlessness. Fearlessness. Because the greatest fear in life is death. And therefore, by taking shelter of Krishna, one overcomes the principle of death. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, why is the death rate in India so high? And Prabhupada said, death rate is same everywhere, 100%. Whoever is born is supposed to die. So therefore, when we speak about Krishna's darshan, so Krishna's darshan, or seeing the Lord, because the Lord is adhokshaja, he cannot be viewed or he cannot be seen with these mundane eyes. He only reveals himself to someone. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be non-different from Krishna. Soham ranam kshulla sukhaya dukham mahadgataya viramaya tasya pravartaye bhagavatam purana. So this Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken And the Srimad Bhagavatam has been translated and elaborate commentaries have been written by Srila Prabhupada so that the conditioned soul understands how to utilize his time properly in the limited human form of life. Time is very scarce. Time is the most pressing element. Other things will come and go, but time cannot be captured back. And therefore, soham ranam kshulla sukhaya dukham. People are investing their energy, people are investing their time for kshulla sukh, insignificant pleasure. And for insignificant pleasure, they are experiencing unlimited pain. Is it a good investment? So therefore, our Krishnanand Prabhu always gives an example that sense gratification, somebody was asking him, sense gratification also gives some pleasure. How can you deny it? There is pleasure in sex life. There is pleasure in various forms of entertainment. You cannot deny that there is no pleasure. So he gave an example that, okay, rasgulla is sweet. You want a rasgulla? And this boy said, yes, I want rasgulla. But I said, I will sell you the rasgulla for 1 crore rupees. One rasgulla for 1 crore. Will you take it? He says, no. Why? It is not worth it. It is not that the rasgulla is not sweet, but it is not worth 1 crore. So therefore, if someone says, yes, there is pleasure in sense gratification, but the cost at which one gets that, it is not worth it. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada took great pains to translate his books. Majority of the time he spent in those 11 years so that we can get darshan. Otherwise, India is filled with temples. India is filled with temples and filled with so many deities of all types. And there are so many Krishna temples, so many Vishnu temples, so many Radha Krishna temples. Saraswati Thakur was giving a Bhagavatam class and one gentleman walked in. And as he was giving class, everyone was sitting and hearing, but this gentleman walked and he was standing in front of the deities. Then he offered obeisances, got up, again offered obeisances, did all kinds of things in front of the deity, kept standing and then kept doing this, that, everything. So Saraswati Thakur waited. And after that he looked at him and said, in the middle of the class, he stopped the class and said, so how was your eye massage? How was your eye massage? You saw the deities, but unless you understand how to look at the deities, how will you appreciate? So we come in front of the deities, not to see the deities, but to be seen by the deities. To be seen by the deities. One guest had come to the Gaudiya Mutt and he was honoring prasadam. And as he was honoring prasadam, the last part of the prasadam was malpua. So he was given malpua, he ate. So then he liked it very much. He asked the devotee serving, give me one more. So he gave one more. Then after some time he said, one more. He said, one more. He said, one more. So like that he ate half a dozen. And then he wanted more. So now, you know, there is a limit. May not be limit to malpua, but limit to the server's patience. So he said, are you eating malpua or malpua is eating you? He made a comment like that. So, you know, kitchen is a hot area and many people who are serving there may not always be in the best mood. So this man, he wrote a long letter to Saraswati Thakur. Because of this one comment, he wrote a long letter. Feedback. That I went to your mutt I am from very aristocratic family. I have no shortage of any food. I am earning a lot. And this sadhu, he's looking at me and telling me, are you eating malpo or malpo is eating you? What training have you given him? So Saraswati Thakur called this gentleman and said that actually, when we approach Krishna in any of his tattvas, the whole idea is not that I enjoy Krishna. It is that we allow Krishna to actually reciprocate and accept our service. So therefore, we should not think that I am enjoying Krishna, but we provide our services in such a way that Krishna is pleased with us. So therefore, this whole concept that I am not the seer, but I am the seen. When we look at a Vaishnav, one of the main causes of offense to a Vaishnav is because we think I am seeing a Vaishnav. But when we come in front of a Vaishnav, we come so that we are seen by the Vaishnav. So therefore, this very important principle, Srila Prabhupada has elaborated in detail in his purports. And therefore he spent so much of time printing and publishing his books. Someone told Srila Prabhupada that this was the moon landing issue going on. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, they have started selling land on the moon. You know, as many, you know, frauds are there, that many people are there to accept the fraud also. So they have started selling land on the moon. What should we do? Prabhupada said, no problem. As far as we are concerned, we'll go there and sell our books. If they actually manage to go, let them go. And if there is a process, and Prabhupada said, it's not possible. You know, what they are saying doesn't make sense. So therefore, as far as the Lord's beautiful darshan is concerned, that darshan or seeing the Lord is only possible through Shruta Ekshata, through the process of hearing about the Lord's glories. Only by hearing about the Lord. And when we hear about the Lord, simply hearing doesn't suffice, because hearing has to combine with the process of serving. Atah Sri Krishna namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyaihi sevon mukhaihi jihuvadav swayam eva spuratyada. Sevon mukhaihi jihuvadav swayam eva spuratyada. That when we actually start serving the Lord with a desire to please the Lord, and based on the scripture we understand the Lord's position, and then we serve Him with that awe, with that reverence, with that understanding of His magnanimous glories. When we serve under the instruction of great souls, then our action is translated into devotional service. So karma is basically my intention and my action. And bhakti is your intention and my action. So the process of bhakti begins when we pin down what is the origin of the intention. When the origin or the source of the intention or the idea comes from Krishna, comes from Krishna's representatives, comes from the parampara, then we actually participate in the channel of bhakti. Otherwise, we are not even on that highway. We are on some other highway where the destination will take us somewhere else. The destination will be somewhere else. So therefore, whenever we begin an activity in devotional service, the first question should be, what is the source of that idea? What is the source of that intention? And based on that source, then the idea of devotional service is developed. As all of us have experienced writing in mathematics papers, if the step one is wrong, if you make a mistake in the first step in calculation, Can the answer be right? Sometimes you make another mistake in the last step and somehow manage to get the right answer. That may be a different thing. But usually, if you actually make one mistake in one step, then you proceed in that direction, everything just compounds. So therefore, that ideas are expanded in great detail in the Bhagavata. And those who are representatives, they actually share with us this idea. And only when the foundation is right, when the original idea is right, when the step one is right, when the first turn you take on the journey is right, then only the journey will be in the right direction. And then only there is any hope of attaining that destination. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, books are the basis. And he spent a very considerable amount of time writing these books, speaking about these books, elaborating on these books. So here we find that in the 10th canto, the demigods are praying to Krishna, glorifying his lotus feet. Yenye arvindaksha vimukta maninas toy asta bhavat abhishuddha buddhaya aruhya krishrena param padam tatah patanti adha anadrata yushmad angraya. So this verse describes that if one disrespects Krishna's lotus feet or neglects Krishna's lotus feet, yushmad angrayah, or fails to receive the benediction coming down in the form of opportunity to serve Krishna. So when we speak of serve, then there is a relationship between master and servant. And when there is a relationship between master and servant, the master gives instruction. The master expresses desire first. Not that the servant suggests to the master, what do you think? Shall I do this? So anadrita yushmad angraya means so many impersonalists, they do not give importance to the form of the Lord, to the personality of the Lord. So impersonalism is totally against devotional service, because there is no scope, no room for valuing the desires of Krishna. Krishna's desires, Krishna's intentions, Krishna's various, activities which he wants us to perform, they are totally neglected. So therefore, anadrita yushmadangriya, when we neglect Krishna's lotus feet, what is the result? Aruhya krichrena param padam tata. One falls down again into the material world because there is no stability. We are not actually situated on a platform of stable service. That is the only stable situation for the soul when he is engaged in Krishna's devotional service. So therefore in the third canto it is described, Shri Rupini Kwanayati Charanarabindam Leelambujena Harisadmani Mukta Doshaha. It is described that in the Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi is engaged in serving Shri Rupini Kwanayati Charanarabindam. So anklets on Lakshmi Devi's feet, they are tinkling, they are making tinkling sound as they are running around the palaces in Vaikuntha. Unlimited Lakshmis are moving around. Why are they moving around? Why are they so busy? People in the material world are busy trying to earn Lakshmi. They are running around, they are jumping around. They are squeezing each other in the local trains. Right? For Lakshmi. You ask anyone why you are going? For Lakshmi. Somebody was asking me in America that, oh, you are from Mumbai. He was an American tourist. He had once visited Mumbai and said, your local trains are horrible. Those trains, those subways, what do people get traveling in those trains? I said, free massage. So why do people travel? For Lakshmi. So now you may wonder, If Lakshmi herself, why is she moving around? Why is she so agitated? Leelambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha. So she is in Harisadmani, the place where Lord Hari resides, the Vaikuntha palaces. Mukta Dosha, and she is without any dosha. What is Lakshmi's dosha? She is Chanchala. She stays at one place and then moves to another place. Right? So Samlakshate Sphatika Kudya Upetya Hemni Sammarajativa. So how is she seen? What is she doing? She has taken a broom in her hand. Lakshmi has taken a broom in her hand and she is sweeping the floor of the palaces of Vaikuntha. And what is the floor of palace of Vaikuntha made out of? It is not made out of wood or cement or marble or anything. Samlakshate Sphatika, it is made out of crystal. The lights are not like this. They are all diamonds and rubies. And they are all self-effulgent. So why? She is, you know, brooming means there must be some dust. Is it not? One thing you get in plenty in material world is dust. So in the spiritual world, everything is spotlessly clean. So what is she doing? Sammarjativa anugrahanenya yatna. But she is putting her effort so that she can attract the attention of Lord Vishnu. And not one, not two. Millions of Lakshmis have taken brooms in their hand and they all want to capture the heart of Lord Vishnu. They want to make a statement that we are eager to serve you. So Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport that everyone in this world is looking for one glance of Lakshmi Devi. How Lakshmi Devi can glance upon me? But Lakshmi Devi, who is considered Saubhagyavati, she considers her greatest fortune is to be engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So therefore, that is Mukta Dosha. So when one engages in the service to the lotus feet of Krishna, then one is freed from all doshas. Freed from all kinds of faults. So that is the power of Krishna's lotus feet. So therefore, by taking shelter of these lotus feet, we are able to cross the ocean of birth and death. In the 10th canto also we find that Brahmaji in his prayers, Brahmaji has made a mistake. He could not understand Krishna's greatness and he got bewildered. So in his prayers he expresses, Athapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimnu. My dear Lord, those who try to understand your greatness without taking shelter of your lotus feet, they will never be successful. They will go on speculating. But athapite deva padambuja dvaya, if your two beautiful lotus feet, anyone takes shelter, prasada lesha anugrahita evahi, and if they receive the mercy of that lotus feet even to a slight degree, janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno, immediately they get entrance into understanding Krishna's glories. Krishna's glories are revealed by taking shelter of those lotus feet. And Brahmaji, he has personal realization of how using his intelligence he could not understand Krishna. Jananta eva janantu bakim bahu uktaya prabho manaso vapusho vacho vaibhavam tava gocharam. Brahmaji says, some people may say, I will know Krishna, I will understand Krishna. But with mind, intelligence, words, one can never understand the extent of Krishna's glories. So therefore, what does it mean that janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno? Krishna reveals his glories. Krishna starts revealing when he is pleased with the devotee's effort. And a devotee's effort to please the Lord, that effort is the most important aspect of devotional service. So therefore here we find that Srila Saraswati Thakur, he would often emphasize to all of his devotees to engage in service. And when it comes to Shastra, even study of Shastra when performed under instruction becomes devotional service. Because the original idea and original thought when it comes from Krishna and Krishna's representatives, then it becomes part of devotional service. So therefore, Srila Saraswati Thakur would often emphasize that there should be a very good balance between study of Shastra and service and sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Otherwise, many times one may think that if I simply study, then I will gain knowledge. If I simply serve, I will be able to please Krishna. If I simply preach, I will be able to reach more and more people. No, we need a combination of all three, and as per the specific instructions which are given, then it is possible. Otherwise, there is danger in everything. Some disciples told Prabhupada, we want to go to the night club to distribute books. At night, 10 o'clock we will begin and we will distribute till morning 3 o'clock. Because the night club is very active at that period. Many people come, we will be able to distribute many books. Please give your blessings to go. Prabhupada said, please go and come back also. So we should be very aware that when we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's glories are revealed to the extent we are able to balance our Krishna conscious activities. One disciple approached Srila Prabhupada and asked him, what is the duty of a guru and what is the duty of a disciple? And Srila Prabhupada said, it is the duty of a guru to serve Krishna and it is the duty of the disciple to assist the guru in his service to Krishna. Right? So another devotee asked that every day in our morning Guruvashtakam, Mangalarti prayers, we sing Nikunjo Yono Ratikeli Sidyai Yaya Libhi Yukti Rapekshaniya Tatra Arpi Daksha Ativallabhasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. That I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of Sri Guru, who is very expert in assisting the gopis in the groves of Vrindavan. Nikunja Yono Ratikeli Ya Alibhir. The gopis are serving Radharani, who is serving Krishna, and the spiritual master is serving these gopis. So you are telling us to assist you. So what is our role as far as our assisting in terms of this verse? So he wanted to know something about where in that Vrindavan Leela we are. If you are there serving the gopis and we are assisting you, where are we? So how do we assist you in terms of this shloka? Tatrarpi daksha ativallabhasya. The spiritual master is very expert in serving the gopis. So Prabhupada said, you can assist me very well. This verse means, go out and distribute books. Premaras niryas korite aswadan raga marga bhakti loke korite pracharan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. For what purpose? Sri Chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale. Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Mahaprabhu. What was Mahaprabhu's heart? Premaras niryas korite aswadan. Mahaprabhu wanted to taste the devotional service of the Brajavasis, of the gopis for Krishna. Premaras niryas korite aswadan raga marga bhakti loke korite pracharan. And he wanted to share this knowledge of raga bhakti of the special flavor of the Brajavasis' devotional service to Krishna amongst the people. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas, they have appeared to teach us how to practice that and to expand the family and to share this with more and more people and bring them closer to Krishna. And this they do through the process of engaging everyone in the Krishna conscious activities. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he was very emphatic on not only practice of devotional service, but also invoking the compassion mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by sharing this with others. Right? And he would not encourage too many questions on some of these, you know, esoteric aspects. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, once you go to the spiritual world, how will I find you in the spiritual world when I come there?" Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, I'll find you." So many times we think that the process of bhakti is an instant process, because the way it appears is that you just chant and everything will manifest. And many times the word used by Srila Prabhupada is automatically. And one will make advancement automatically. But that automatic means it is lots of things are there in that automatic. And the more time we spend in Krishna consciousness, the more it unfolds. And we realize that it's not as simple as we thought. So therefore, very important for us to understand the process depends on how we diligently follow it. Like I think this was an initiation ceremony, and one candidate came in front of Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, and he gave him the beads. No, before he gave the beads, he had to say that his vows and everything. So he said, "I promise to chant 16 rounds on my bead bag." Instead of beads, he says bead bag. So Maharaj said, "Don't lose your bead bag." Continue chanting. So this 16 rounds is a minimum, and we have to chant with great attention. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us the process by which we can do this. Right? Initially, Saraswati Thakur, his standard was 64. And if you read Nectar of Instruction in the purport, anyone who chants less than 64, Saraswati Thakur says, is patita. So by those standards, and we feel good because we know everyone is like that. We feel pretty confident that the whole assembly. So, but the idea is that Janati Tattvam Bhagavan Mahimno. When we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and that shelter which manifests itself through opportunity to serve Krishna's devotees, then gradually the process of Krishna consciousness starts unfolding itself. So therefore here, very beautiful point, Srila Prabhupada mentions that he asked the question, what is the meaning of management in Krishna consciousness? And nobody responded. So Srila Prabhupada said, management in Krishna consciousness means to create interest in Krishna where there is none. To create interest in Krishna where there is none. And then Prabhupada said, do you know how you can have management at your fingertips? So all the devotees became very eager to hear. So they thought it's going to be like some Harvard Business School, you know, do this, do this, do this. How to get management at your fingertips? And Prabhupada said, very simple, you have to do four things. And everyone became very alert. Oh, if we get that sutra, management at fingertips, and many may think it is something esoteric. So Prabhupada said, first is, chant together. Chant Hare Krishna. Second, follow the rules. Third, take prasad together. And fourth, preach Krishna consciousness, which we are already doing. So we may wonder why it is not coming at fingertips, why I am at fingertips. We have to increase the attentiveness with which we do these things. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given beautiful, you know, instructions on how we should progress on this path of bhakti. Another beautiful verse which comes about Krishna's lotus feet is Brahmaji's one more prayer. Tat bhuri bhagyam iha janmani kimap atavyam yat gokulepi katamangri rajobhishekam. So Brahmaji is praying that may I be born where? In the forest paths of Gokul, he says. Tat bhuri bhagyam iha janma kimapi atavyam. Kimapi atavyam means in this forest, anywhere. May I be born in this forest. This will be my bhuri bhagyam. Tat bhuri bhagyam. That will be my greatest fortune. Iha janma kimapi atavyam. Why? Yat gokulepi katamangri rajobhishekam. Because if I am born in this forest as a grass or in any particular small plant, rajobhishekam, the dust of the brajavasis will keep constantly falling upon my head. I will have abhishek of the dust of their feet. Yat jivitam tu bhagavan, yat jivitam tu nikhilam bhagavan mukundo. And why the brajavasis are special? Because for them, Lord Mukunda is their life and soul. Right? So therefore, those lotus feet of Krishna are being sought after even by the Vedic literatures. So he says that. Yat pada raja shruti mrigyam. Shruti mrigyam means even the shrutis are searching for that. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati dagantasi nirvedam shrotavyasa shrutasacha. We are lost in this forest of delusion. We are all searching. What is that destination? That is the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the service to Krishna. Maiva mamadhamasyapi syat evachyata darshana hriyamana kalanadya kochit tarati kashchana. Akrura, when he is approaching Vrindavan, he is thinking, what is my great fortune? I am most fallen personality. Syat evachyata darshana hriyamana kalanadya. I had absolutely no opportunity to take darshan of Krishna. But hriyamana, I have been pulled by the river of time. Kvachit tarati kashchana. And this time factor, by its inconceivable potency, sometimes brings you to the shore. And there, I am going to get darshan of Krishna's lotus feet. So many of us have planned various material aspects of our life. We planned our career, we planned, you know, our family, or planned our business. But majority have got connected to Krishna consciousness without planning. How many of you are in that category? Please raise your hand. Wow. Right? And this is the most important decision we have taken. And now this decision dictates all other decisions which we take in life, right? Whether we want to move somewhere or shift somewhere or do this or do that, everything now depends on this. Why? Because someone else planned for us. Who was that? Devotees. They were planning how to give this book to him, how to give a lecture, how to have a course, how to bring him here. Someone was planning. I was distributing books in the local train many years ago. And I met one gentleman. And I showed him the Gita. And then he said, okay, how did you join? I said, oh, I was studying in IIT. Then I met devotees. I liked it. I joined. He said, oh, I'm making a film on what all people do to get into IIT. I'm making a whole film on that. So I said, but, you know, that's fine. But I joined this so that I can share this knowledge with others. So he said, after getting into IIT, you know, why did you do this? You could have done so many other things. Why are you sharing this knowledge with others? What do you get? Do you get some commission? I said, no, Baba. We are just trying to, you know, share our happiness with others. And I asked him, where are you from? He said, I am from Pune. I said, oh, my friend is in Pune. Radhesham Prabhu. He is also from IIT. You can go and meet him. He said, he's also like you. So yeah, like me. So he said, I think I should now make another film. What people do after getting out of IIT. So many times, you may be, you know, going around, meeting someone, talking to someone. A devotee, when he is moving around, he is actually, you know, a magnet. Many people, they keep looking. They may not even speak, but they may become attracted. And there are instances of people following a devotee to the temple. Because they have been following, where is he going, where is he going? Where is he from? You know, and they land up. Like, you know, I was in the Grand Road station trying to show a book to somebody and telling him all about the Gita. You know, we have the standard dialogues. 700 shlokas are there and all the commentaries are there. And he was not so impressed. So I started showing pictures also. Pictures are there, all color. Color pictures are there, gloss print. You know, and then we are giving a discount, because many years ago we used to give a discount also. And then he was asking so many questions. For 15-20 minutes he was going on asking, is it complete Gita? Why I should give an incomplete Gita? Are all the 700 verses there? Whether we'll make money by keeping some verses aside and giving only partial? So I was not very good with, you know, book distribution. So I just got trapped into that whole conversation. It went on for 15-20 minutes. Then he started asking about me. I started speaking about me. And then after 20 minutes, I realized that, but what about the book? And then finally I asked him, are you taking the book or not? He said, no, actually my grandfather already has purchased this book. I said, that you should have told first. And then finally, right next to him, there was one gentleman sitting behind a newspaper. And I had not even noticed. So suddenly 100 rupee note came out. And I realized that, oh, this hand has come out. So I took the 100 rupee note, I put the Gita. He took it back, I didn't see his face also. So you may be thinking, he will become devotee, he'll take. And somebody else is interested, he hears, he gets connected. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is a process where Prabhupada says that everyone is looking for Krishna, but we should be able to manifest in the right way, at the right time. And that's a very, you know, critical element like that. So here we find that Akrura is approaching and is saying that, I do not know how I got this fortune, because I am going to be taking darshan of Krishna's lotus feet, which are all auspicious, which are all powerful. And then he says, glorifying Krishna's lotus feet, Yadarchitam brahma bhavadhibhi suraihi shriyacha devya munecha satvatai gocharayananu characharadvane yat gopika nam kucha kumkumankitam. So these lotus feet of Krishna are being worshipped by the greatest demigods. Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi Devi, they are all worshipping, they have got their power by serving Krishna's lotus feet. Shriyacha Devya Munehacha Satvatai, Lakshmi Devi, who's goddess of fortune, she's constantly serving that lotus feet. Munehacha Satvatai, The greatest rishis and munis are serving Krishna's lotus feet. But what are those lotus feet doing? Gocharayananucharaischaradvane. Those lotus feet are following the calves in Vrindavan. The most powerful in the creation are clinging on to that lotus feet. They are constantly absorbed in trying to serve that lotus feet. They don't want to give up the association of that lotus feet even for one moment. But what that lotus feet is engaged in? Krishna is engaged in serving the very weak and very tiny, helpless calves who cannot even do anything substantial for Krishna. So Krishna is serving them. And what is that lotus feet decorated with? Yat gopikanam kucha kumkumankitam. The kumkum which is smearing the gopi's body. Krishna smears his lotus feet with that kumkum. So therefore if you see Krishna's lotus feet, it is reddish. And it is reddish because he loves to take his devotee's devotional offering and accept it. So Akrura is thinking about how he is going to get that darshan of Krishna's lotus feet and what a great fortune it will be. So thinking like this, Akrura is proceeding towards Vrindavan. So therefore, if we see that the greatest opportunity we have in the human form of life is the opportunity to serve. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has done. He has created this ISKCON society by which, even without knowing, as soon as someone gets connected, he may not know why Mahaprabhu came. When we first came to temple, did we know what Mahaprabhu did? Or that the mission was Prem Ras Niryas Karite Asmadan Raga Marga Loge Bhakti Loke Karite Pracharan? Did we come for that? No, we came for some halwa. What a difference between Mahaprabhu's intention and our intention. There is a gross mismatch between what initially attracted us. So by the time we realize Chaitanya Charitamrita, we realize Mahaprabhu and what he has said, already we have spent 2 years. Then we realize, oh, goal of life is this. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. They keep singing last 2 years, but I never bothered to find out translation. Because I was always praying, please give me some money, please give promotion, please give this, please give that. My prayers were so fervent that I didn't bother about what the previous Acharya's prayers were. So then when I heard it, then I'm kind of getting bewildered. Mama janmani janmanishware, and that too life after life. Keep me like that. One devotee in Vrindavan used to pray, Mama Jarmani Jarmanishware. So by the time we come to know that this is the lofty ideal, but Srila Prabhupada has created the society where even if intentions are not pure, keep going. No problem. Right? It is like someone joining an engineering college without wanting to be engineer. Which engineering college will take? Professor will ask, you want to be engineer? No, I don't want to be engineer. Why are you here? But in temple you ask, do you want pure love? No. I want some promotion, that's why I've come. We don't say, no, only pure bhakti wala should sit here. Please come, all come. Keep chanting, keep dancing, keep taking prasadam. When you dance up and down, desires will go up and down. And then before you know, things are transformed. It will happen automatically. So this is the most broad-minded arena where we take in everyone. Admission open for all. What kind of university is this? This is Mahaprabhu's broad-mindedness. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he was speaking to a group of people who had absolutely no idea of what is Krishna or anything. And Prabhupada had full conviction that because Saraswati Thakur desired, it will happen. And it happened. And he was telling people to, you know, wear these clothes, have a different hairstyle. So one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, you are telling us to shave. But you know, Krishna, he has long hair. Lord Chaitanya, in this Panchatattva photo, has long hair. Nityananda, he has long hair. Balram, he has long hair. Jesus Christ, he has long hair. Buddha, he has long hair. Why you are telling us to shave? Prabhupada said, you came to know about Krishna, about Chaitanya, about Nityananda. From whom? He said, from you, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, what is my hairstyle? So automatically, he got the message. Right? So Prabhupada actually took personal care of so many devotees in the initial days and got them connected to the process. For them, the lotus feet of Krishna was manifesting in the form of the personality of Srila Prabhupada, who was giving them direct service. So Garga Muni Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, we come here every day, take food, go, even you have to wash the pots. What we are supposed to do? Prabhupada said, I was waiting for that day when you will ask. He said, you are supposed to assist me. He said, oh, assist me. So he went away and he was thinking how to assist. And as he was going along the street, he saw one machine. And he thought, oh, what is this machine? He went in and asked. And they said, it is a dictaphone. He said, oh, Swamiji sit and type all the time, all his transcripts. If he takes this, it will be easier. Someone else can type. The books can be published faster. So he purchased that dictaphone. Half an hour he understood how it works and brought it to Prabhupada. And he was thinking all the way as he was walking towards Prabhupada. Just like Akrura is thinking, you know. How Prabhupada will be in ecstasy and how he will be so happy that I have brought this. But then Prabhupada is from village of Vrindavan. I have to teach him this whole thing very nicely so that he is able to use it. But no problem, but I have trained myself. I will train him. So he came and offered obeisances to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you said I must assist you. I have brought this dictaphone which you can use. Prabhupada said, very good, keep it. Said, no, now I will teach you how to use it. Prabhupada picked it up. Tuck, 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 tuck. And he knew. And then he asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, you know? Prabhupada said, yeah, I know. He was shocked that how come he knows? He is from a village. He is not supposed to know. And how does he know how this dictaphone works? So Srila Prabhupada was fully prepared for publishing and printing these books. He had full idea what his mission was. And when he came to India, he thought of a brilliant scheme, life membership scheme, by which people could associate. But what was the idea? Through that association, we can also give these books and share those books. And he knew that in India, people are, you know, there is a culture of inviting the sadhus for prasadam. So Prabhupada would make himself available to so many people's houses. So when he was in Surat, he was getting so many invitations, 10, 15, 20, 25 invitations in a day. Prabhupada said, only if you become life member, I will come. So they would make 10, 15, 20 life members in a day. And Prabhupada said, in the outside world, you go to eat, you have to pay. Here, they pay me to eat. So in one house at Calcutta, they were taking prasadam. And you know, in India, they usually keep serving and asking more. Please take more. Orlije, orlije. So for in America, they are not used to this kind of a thing because they are whatever is there, they are straightforward. So they were bewildered how to say now no. So they were also eating and eating and eating. At night, one of the brahmacharis started screaming in the temple back, "Srila Prabhupada, my stomach is paining." Prabhupada said, "You ate 25 puris." He got shocked. He said, "Prabhupada, how do you know?" Prabhupada said, "I was counting." So another brahmachari started laughing. So Prabhupada said, "You ate 15. And Prabhupada said, "The purpose of me taking all of you to all these places is not that you have to eat till here everywhere. This is simply an opportunity for us to develop a relationship so that we can give them Krishna. And in India, everyone will keep feeding you. If you keep eating like this, you will be finished." So therefore, dadati pratigrihnati guhyam akhyati prachyati bhungte bhojayate. So Prabhupada wanted to establish these six loving exchanges in this way. And one of the very powerful means is through sharing of Krishna conscious literatures and katha. And we find that, you know, India has become westernized. Right? That was one of the... When Prabhupada started ISKCON, there were not too many Indians in America. And there were not too many Western people in India also. So when all of these devotees came and started preaching in India, it became a sensation. Right? And many of these devotees, after coming to India, got, you know, more and more acclimatized to the Vedic culture. So therefore we find that the westernization is affecting India. But also, the Indian ways have also affected the devotees in the West. So it works both ways. Right? I was in New Vrindavan a few years ago, and there was like a festival. It was Narsingh Chaturdashi, and late night prasadam distribution was going on. So I found one or two Western devotees came with dabba. So they were taking prasad in the plate and also filling up dabba also. So I was quite intrigued. I asked them, from where you got this idea? Filling up dabba and everything. They said, "Mayapur." So Prabhupada established a worldwide society, and devotees from all across, they are actually coming together to understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy and the culture. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON as a place where people can come and take shelter. It is like a hospital where you can get cured. And the invitation to that, Prabhupada established as giving out of those books. That when a book distributor goes and gives a book, it is an invitation that you can come in and be part of the hospital. Now if you tell somebody, "Come, get admitted in hospital," he's, "You think I am sick or what?" So we don't say like hospital. So you just come and visit the temple. Be part of this process. And therefore immediately people get connected to some extent. So it's an excuse. And Prabhupada said, if you beg in the Western world, it is illegal or it is not allowed. So therefore you can show these books and show the books in a nice way and share your own experiences with people, and people will get attracted. Just like yesterday, somebody sent me a whole email, you know, of a book distribution party in Pathankot. There is one of our brahmacharis, Abhimanyu Prabhu. He's a BT boy. So he was distributing Bhagavad Gita in a bus. And this guy was totally drunk. So when he showed the Gita to this drunk man, he said, no, I am drunk, I can't take the Gita. So he said, "Gita says you are not this body, you are the soul. So the body is drunk, soul is not drunk." So he got confused. And that confusion was sufficient. He was already drunk, so he took out the money. And he gave him the book. And he was about to take the book in his hand. He said, no, I will put in the bag. Because he had this sentiment that he is drunk. So he put the Gita in the bag, and he was even more impressed that he is so conscious. So he said, what is your name? He said, my name is Abhimanyu. He said, oh, I give you blessings that you are free from the chakravyuh of material life. Whether drunk or not, blessings is blessings. So it was very inspiring to read that on the email which came. So these are some of the thoughts which I wanted to share, that this beautiful verse where Varuna is expressing his great joy upon seeing Krishna's lotus feet. And that access to the lotus feet of Krishna is through serving the devotees, serving the mission. And Srila Prabhupada, especially in this month of marathon, wanted us to assist in that service by distributing his books. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gaurampu, for a nice, inspiring class. To keep our inspiration going on for the marathon, we have some more wonderful news from the bus party and other devotees in the congregation. Prabhu was mentioning the last Pathankot bus party. They are doing very extremely good because they are getting, it's a new preaching area they are exploring, and they are getting reciprocation from Krishna. I'll tell you a nice story about what happened to them. They usually go to villages, and when they are going to villages, they approach schools and colleges. So they entered a particular village, and there was a small school there. And our devotees, they went inside the campus, and the first person they met was a teacher. The person looked like a teacher. So immediately the devotee asked, "Where is principal's office?" Sometimes you have to be careful what you ask. Exactly what you need, you know, and then you ask something else. So where is principal's office? So the teacher said, well, you go ahead, you can see that place. Principal's office is that place. So our devotees went ahead, and near the classroom there was one person sitting down on a staircase. Very simple person, and some few students were next to him, and he was solving some riddle for them, some problem. So our devotees went and asked, where is principal's office? So this man said, he pointed to a door. So our devotees went inside a door, went in the cabin. There was no principal inside. There was one chaprasi. So they asked chaprasi, where is principal? So chaprasi came out and said, that same person was on the stairs. So they were surprised that, you know, we went and asked him. And they realized, you know, what question they asked was, where is principal's office? They didn't ask, where is the principal? So the devotees went and said, sir, you are so humble. You exactly answered what we questioned, you know, that where is principal's office? You showed the principal's office. You didn't tell that I am the principal, what you want, what work you want. So the principal got very impressed and he asked, why you came here? So devotee showed him the Krishna book and the Bhagavad.